blue insert. If you want to take that out and get ready to jot down some notes, I think it'll be helpful to you today to do that. And take your Bibles, if you have one, and turn with me to Revelation chapter 21. The very last book of the Bible, the second to the last chapter, we should all be able to find that, Revelation 21. If you don't have a Bible, raise your hand. We'd love to give one to you, either as a gift or you could just borrow it for the day and leave it on your chair as you're done this morning. But if you need that, one of our ushers will get you a Bible, and just hold your hand up. Our ushers are doing triple duty this morning, so I told Tom we're going to double his salary this morning for all the work he's doing. But hold your hand up for just a moment. You know, as I was reading through my notes this morning, I had this thought, and I want you to hear what I'm going to say. I had this thought. I thought, this is a great sermon. I had that thought, not because of my input, but it's like, if you can't get excited about today's topic, then something's wrong. And if I can't get you excited about it, then something's wrong with me. I mean, it's just a wonderful topic. So if you're expecting to hear bad news today, you came to the wrong church. If you're expecting to hear good news, you're in the right spot. Not because I'm such a great preacher, but because God's word is so powerful and so exciting and so alive, especially on this topic this morning. So get ready to say amen a lot. Get ready to be excited and thankful for the Lord for what he's done. And I'm just excited to share this message with you today. I think it's going to encourage all of us, especially as we get ready to go into this busy holiday Christmas season. I can't think of a better way to just kind of get ready for that. So this series, as I've told you all along, has been kind of like a you are here kind of moment. You know, you look at your phone and there's that little pin that you can put on a map. Or back in the day, you'd go to the mall and you look at the picture of the mall. You'd want to find out where you're going. And always be that little dot. You see it on the screen there. It says, you are here. And you try to figure out where you are. This series is doing that. And my goal in these 4 weeks, as we look at these four events, these four words, these four ideas, is it would help us to get our bearings and find out where we are. What's the big picture? You know, so often we get involved in life, we get busy, and again, it's just going to get busier this month. Can you believe it's December this morning? It's amazing how quickly time goes, and here we are in December, and we need to, every once in a while, just kind of pause and say, okay, well, what's the big picture? You know, we have a saying in our culture, we can't see the forest for the trees, and sometimes we're like that, we just go, and this morning I'm going to invite you just to take a deep breath. And just kind of pause and say, well, but what's going on in the big picture? And in these 4 weeks, we've kind of given you these four words, these four Bible themes, these four Bible words, that if you understand these four things, you're going to be able to place yourself in the right spot and get the big picture of what God is doing in the world. And so these four words, you see them on the screen there. The first one's creation. God created everything. Amen? We are here because God created us. We did not come out of nothing. We did not come out of the Big Bang or evolution. God made everything. Secondly, sometime after the creation, we had the fall. And at the fall, man sinned, and sin ruined everything. We'll talk about that again a little bit this morning, but sin's effect has been, it's hard to understand how big of an effect sin has had and how big of an effect the fall has had, not just on us, but even creation itself is groaning, the Bible says, because of the fall. Well, the good news we talked about last week is Jesus came and died to pay for everything, and that's the word redemption. Aren't you thankful for that? We celebrate that at communion this morning, that he died, he paid the price, he shed his blood so we can be saved. The word redemption is the same as the word ransom. He paid the ransom for us. He paid the price to set us free. And I thought by now I'd see some smiles out there this morning. Anybody excited about that today? That's good news. He paid that price. But yet it gets even better because, you know, there's a fourth word, and we're living today between the third and the fourth word. The fourth word, we look forward, we look ahead to the day of restoration when Jesus is returning to make everything new. Amen. That's good news on this Thanksgiving weekend. Not just that you survived the family coming over without a fight over politics on Thanksgiving, or not just you. Anyone go Black Friday shopping this weekend? Okay, yeah, you did. Okay, I'm glad you survived. Okay, the good news as we wrap up this series is even better than that. Is that we've got a great future ahead of us. And if you forget everything else I say this morning, I want you to walk out of these doors in a little bit saying, you know what? Our future in God is bright because he's going to come and restore everything. I want you to write this down. This is the first fill-in that will encourage us today. Number one, Jesus finishes what he starts. Jesus started a project here on earth after the fall. We saw it in Genesis chapter 3. Even after the fall, God said to Satan, he said, you know what? The seed of the woman is going to come and crush your head. And that was the first prophecy of Jesus coming. We saw last week that Jesus came and he redeemed us. And what Jesus starts, he finishes. There's no unfinished projects in Jesus' garage. Not like my garage, not like your sewing room. We have unfinished projects. We have things we started and gave up on. We have things that we tried and we failed at. Jesus isn't like that. What he starts, he finishes. And he began a work at redemption by saving us, and he's going to complete it as he restores us and makes everything new and brings us into his presence in heaven forever and ever and ever. I've read the end of the book, and I like the way this book ends. And we're going to look at that this morning. So here it is. Here's the key takeaway this morning, and the thing that we need to understand and really get our hands on today is that the way things are now is not the way they'll always be. Now that's a hard thing for us to get our reminder on, because the way things are now is the way they've always been. The world that we live in, with the sin and the death and divorce and disease and danger and separation and all the stuff that we go through, we think, well, this is the way it's always going to be. I'm here today to say the way things are now is not going to last forever. The way things are now are temporary. This age is passing away. Things will not always be like they are today. They're going to get better. They're going to get much better. They're going to be perfected when Jesus returns and restores and makes everything new. So be encouraged. You may be going through deep waters today. You may be going through difficult times. You may be going through all sorts of discouragement and stress and strain. And we all do. Don't get me wrong. We all do. But the good news is, if we look up our eye, lift up our eyes and look out to the future, God's got a great future for us. Jesus is coming again to restore all things and reverse the effects of the fall. And the way things are today is not the way they're always going to be. So when you tend to get discouraged, or you tend to get down, and we all struggle with that at times, I want you to be able to say, you know what? But things aren't always going to be the way they are today. That's not just positive confession. That's just not having a good attitude. That is the biblical truth that we need to anchor our lives to, that the way things are now is not the way they'll always be. Look at this picture I'll put up on the slide here, screen here for you. This is a sign you don't want to see when you're driving, right? How many of you, you're driving somewhere and you see this sign, you say, detour. Oh my goodness, I hate seeing that sign. If you're trying to get somewhere, this isn't the sign you want to see. In fact, most detours are bad roads. I mean, you're on a good road, it's going well, you're on the freeway, and there's a sign that says detour. You got to get out the freeway and go, you know, on these back roads. But here's what I want you to understand today, that since the fall, the human race has been on a detour. Now, get this. This is important. We've been on a detour. One day the detour will end. God didn't create this world to be the way it is right now. God did not create this world with sin and death and disease and all the things we struggle with. That came in after the fall. And since the fall, when Adam and Eve fell and we fell with them, since then we've been on a detour of thousands and thousands and thousands of miles. We've been on this detour. We think, will it ever end? I'm here today, as we'll see in a moment from Revelation 21, this detour is going to end. The world that we're living in today, it's not going to be the way it is all the time. It will not be this way forever. So you look at these four words, we're living between 3 and 4. Already redemption has come, but not yet has restoration been fully given to us. You've heard me say this before. We talk about the kingdom of God. We have this phrase that you may think doesn't make much sense, but I like it. It's the already and the not yet. We're living in the already and the not yet. Already we are saved, but not yet are we fully released from our sins. Already there's healing, but not yet is everyone healed. So there's that tension, right? It's like already we're in the kingdom of God, but not yet is the kingdom of God fully here in the sense that we're looking forward to. And that's why Jesus taught us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. So in a sense, God's kingdom is here, but in a sense, we also look forward to it in the future. Amen? Already there's victory over sin, but not yet are we completely sinless. So we're living in this tension and the already and the not yet, and kind of the overlap between the redemption and the restoration. We're living in that kind of that tension, but I'm here today to say this, what a day that will be. when the not yet is fully here. When we enter into that day and that age, when this old order and this old age is gone and we're fully in the kingdom of God, and that day is quickly coming. Can you say amen? Let's stand together. My friend Jamie's going to come and read our text this morning, Revelation 21, verses 1 through 8. If you have your Bible, you want to open that up.
21, 1 through 8 is about a new heaven and a new earth. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death."
Amen. Let's pray together, shall we, for a moment. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, this is an amazing passage of scripture. We ask you to open it to our hearts and our lives and our ears today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated today. So you might be wondering, answering the question, what is this restoration? What is he going to restore? Why do you use that word restoration? And we'll talk about that throughout this morning, what it means that Jesus is going to come and restore everything that he created in the beginning. Of course, you recognize from the text that Jimmy read this morning, it's talking about heaven. There's so much to say about heaven. I'd love to preach a whole series of messages. Maybe sometime I'll do that on heaven and what we can look forward to. Today I want to just limit myself to the text, but I want to show you, in fact, Lana's going to put up a picture. There's a great book on heaven. If you want to know more about heaven, this book by Randy Alcorn. I've recommended it before, but if you have questions about heaven or you're thinking about heaven, you're wondering about heaven, this is a great book, and I want to encourage you to pick it up and look at it, read it. It talks all about, you know, all the details about what we can look forward to in heaven. I've stolen his definition of heaven. I'll put it there on your notes, and I've shared this before with you, but I think, as I think about heaven, the best way for me to think about it is this, that in heaven, all the bad will be removed and all the good will be perfected. So think about that. All the bad will be removed. So we can all make a list of the bad things that we experience here on earth that'll be removed. Amen? And we could make a list of all the things that are just bad. I mean, disease and death and sin and Monday mornings and all the things that are bad on earth, you know, are gonna be removed. And all the good things are gonna be perfected. So people ask me, they say, "Pastor, will there be food in heaven?" Yeah, there'll be food in heaven. Amen. I'm looking forward to that. It'll be perfected. Will we know each other in heaven? Yes, we'll know each other in heaven. Because relationships are a good thing, but our relationships in heaven will be perfected. Well, there won't be the stress and the strain and the misunderstandings and the difficulties that we have here on earth. We will know each other in heaven. We will laugh and talk about the times we had at South Point, and our relationships in heaven will be perfected. Will there be animals in heaven? Yes. Will there be cats in heaven? Probably not, but that's just my opinion. I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see on that. But this is a great little thumbnail definition of heaven. I mean, you could, again, I don't want to get too far on the sidetrack of that, but because Alcorn talks about that in his book, but all the bad will be removed and all the good will be perfected. I'm looking forward to being in heaven. How about you? But let's talk about restoration this morning. And if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. This is all taken from the text today. Number one, restoration means that God will live with man. Did you catch that? In verse 3 it says, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people." Today, we are living in separate quarters. Of course, now be careful here. God isn't limited to heaven. God is everywhere. God is with us. I'm not saying that's not true. He's everywhere at all times. But the Bible always calls God's home heaven and our home earth. Jesus came down. We use language like this. Jesus came down from heaven. When we die, we go up to heaven. There's that disconnect. There's that difference between heaven and earth. Now, there's an obvious disconnect and difference, although, yes, the Holy Spirit is within us. That's true. God is everywhere. That's true. But the Bible says in Revelation 21 that at the restoration, that God's dwelling place is now with people, now with man. Now, that's something we can look forward to. I can't fully explain it. I can't fully understand it. But we'll be living together in a way that we're not living together right now. Think of the Garden of Eden. So much of what we talk about today really is going back to the Garden of Eden, looking at God's original design for this earth. In the Garden of Eden, before the fall, the Bible says God and man, but we also, if we're honest, will say, Pastor, I experience times when I feel like God is far away from me. I do. Do you? I feel like sometimes when I pray, my prayers bounce off the ceiling and come back down on me. Now, we don't live by feelings, but there's a sense that we don't give up or quit, but we have this sense sometimes that there's a distance between us and God. Now, again, that's why verse 3 is so exciting. It says, look, God's dwelling place is now with people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them. So one of the things that's going to happen at the restoration is that God will live with us. We will live together in a way that, again, we can't really understand at this point, but we know that it's true. We will be his people. He will be our God. Now, this is true now. Again, I know that's true, but it'll be completely true then. The presence of God that we get glimpses of now, whether it's at a worship service or whether we're outside, we see the nature and God speaks to us, or we're holding our baby and we just feel the presence of God so sweetly and so perfectly. We get glimpses of it now, but the Bible says that God will live with us, will never be separated ever, ever again. Wow. Here's what Jesus said. Look at the screen with me from John 14. Jesus said it this way. He says, don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, also believe in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you with to be with me. Listen, that you may also be where I am. We look forward to that day when we'll be in the presence of God in a way that we can't even understand today, that we can't even contemplate today. But Revelation 21 says that God, we will dwell together with God. Can you say amen if that's good news today? Number two, restoration means the old order is gone and the new order will be here. Again, I love verse 4. It's kind of the crux of the message today. So, again, you want to wake up your neighbor if they're asleep. Let them hear this today. Because verse 4 says, he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. Listen, for the old order of things has passed away. The old order of things will pass away. We are living in the old order of things. Now, again, we've talked about it through this series. It's hard for us to understand that because the old order of things is all we've ever known. We were born into sin. We were born into this world that's fallen. We were born into the creation that's been cursed. We were born into a world where people don't get along very well, and death and disease and trouble and wars and rumors of wars and all this stuff. We just think that's normal. We think it's normal that we try to grow flowers and we grow weeds. We think it's normal that we try to get along with people, yet there's friction and tension and misunderstandings. That to us is normal, but it's only normal because we've only lived in what the Bible calls the old order. And the good news is the old order is going to be taken away. The old order is passing away. What is this old order? You say, Pastor, I'm getting confused here. Let me again, look at verse 4. I'm not making this up. It's in the Bible, okay? Verse 4 says this, the old order is death, mourning, crying, and pain. That's the old order. The old order in Revelation 21 will say has passed away. Now, again, it's hard for us to get our minds around that. It's like asking a fish to describe water. A fish will say, this is all that we know is water. You know, a fish lives in water, obviously, and it's all it's ever known until you yank it out of the water and cook it for dinner, okay? But for the most part, the fish doesn't know anything else. And we're kind of like that fish. The old order is all we've ever known. The only people who have ever lived before the old order were who? Were Adam and Eve. Think about it. Adam and Eve were born into perfection. They were formed by the hand of God. They enjoyed a time of relationship that was perfect with God, perfect with each other. The Bible says they were naked and not ashamed. Again, that's not a sexual connotation as much as it's just a relational one. They had no secrets and no reason to hide. They weren't embarrassed about their lives. They were just enjoying perfect relationship. They walked with God in the cool of the day. They worked in the garden. They didn't toil, but they worked. They just enjoyed being creative and serving God in that garden. I mean, they lived before the old order came. After the fall, what happened? Eve experienced pain and childbirth. Say amen if you know what that's all about. Thank you. I didn't hear any male voices there. That's good. We can't know what that's about. They experienced broken relationships. They experienced tension with each other that they'd never seen before. They hid from God. They tried to make little fig leaf garments to hide their nakedness. And God said to Adam, now you're going to have to harvest weeds and hard ground, and by the sweat of your brow, you're going to have to try to feed your family. They saw one son kill another son. Think about that. Cain killed Abel. And they saw that, and they think about how far they've gone from this world before the fall, and now they're fully immersed in this old order. Here's a question that I love to think about. What would it be like to bring Adam and Eve back into this world today and have them stand right here? What they would have seen, a couple different ways. What they could tell us what they saw before the fall, and they could tell us what they see now. And they alone could tell us this whole idea of the old order and the new order. They'd say, you guys will not believe how great the garden was. You have no idea how wonderful it was to walk with God. You've got no idea how great our relationship was when we were naked and not ashamed. And then the old order came, and they could look around and see the death and destruction and the wars and all the horrible things in this world. I mean, their minds would be absolutely blown. And so that's kind of the perspective I want you to have this morning when you think about this idea where God says the old order will go away. Now, again, we're still living in the old order. Don't deny that. What that means is that we go through stuff in life. Amen. And even as Christians, it doesn't mean that we just kind of put on a happy face and lie about it and say, well, everything's okay. We go through hard stuff. Pain and grief and suffering and difficulty. We have emotions. And listen, God gave us emotions. Never apologize for your emotions. Not all emotions are pleasant. There's a whole book in the Old Testament called Lamentations. You know what that's about? It's about lamenting the fact that Jerusalem was destroyed. And Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet. And he was bummed out. And he was depressed. And he was weeping. And sometimes in Christian circles, we say, well, we don't want to talk about unhappy emotions. God gave us unhappy emotions. Amen. There's psalms in here called Songs of Lament where David and the other psalmists cry out and say, God, what's going on? God, what are you doing? God, have you forgotten me? If you feel those emotions, it's okay to express them. It's okay. It doesn't make you less of a Christian. Amen. Because we live in under the old order of things. And anyway, that's a whole other sermon. I'm trying not to go down a rabbit trail here. But I get bothered sometimes when people say, well, just put on a happy face and pretend everything's okay. We live in this old order of things where we do go through grief. We go through suffering. We go through difficulty. Maybe even mental illness and depression. All these things are a part of life because we live in the old order. And just because we're followers of Jesus doesn't mean we're immune from any of those things. Amen. Thank you. Amen. So here, write this down because this is a great summary. The old order can be summed up in one word. So this world that we live in, this old order, it's summed up right here in the scripture in one word. And you know what that word is? The word is death. The world that we live in and the order that we live under right now can be summed up in one word, death. Spiritual death came from sin. Relational death, separation from God, separation from each other, and then physical death. It's all a part of the old order. And the old order can be summed up with that word, death. That's why it says there very clearly that death has been defeated by Jesus Christ. We'll talk about that in just a moment. This old order is summed up with the word death. Think about death for just a moment and how final it is. And you know, my sister passed away a couple weeks ago and we were there and in the hospital. It's just so final. It's like, there's nothing you can do. All the money in the world can't bring your loved one back. The greatest medical care in the world can't bring it back. An act of Congress or a letter from the president can't bring that loved one back. Death is so final. We're all subject to it. And if you want to clear out a room of people at a holiday gathering, start to talk about death and everyone's going to leave. We don't like to talk about it, but it's a part of life. And the old order that we live in today can be summed up with that word, death. But are you ready for some good news? Jesus has already defeated death. His victory over sin and death was won on the cross and vindicated by the empty tomb. And at the restoration of all things, that victory will be total and final. There's coming a day when death will be no more. Amen. That's a great summary of the new order that God's going to bring, is that death will be no more. I love this scripture. It's there in your notes. I want you to see it from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And because this is good news. It says, then the end will come when he, Jesus, hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion and authority and power, for he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. Listen to this. The last enemy to be destroyed is what? Death. Jesus destroys every enemy. The last enemy he destroys is death. And that's what we're talking about in Revelation 21. When Jesus restores everything, death will be no more. Aren't you looking forward to that day? We will live forever and ever and ever. We will not die. Our loved ones will not die. We will not experience physical death or emotional death or relational death. It'll be life, 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 because God is life, and death will be no more. Amen. So we talk about the old order passing away and the new order coming. And again, this is where it gets difficult for us. Well, you say, Pastor, what's the new order going to look like? Without getting too far down that rabbit trail, let me describe it by what it's not going to look like and what's going to be missing. Because again, verse 4 says what's going to be missing is pain and sorrow and crying and mourning and death. The absence of death is going to define what the new order is all about. And again, our finite mind can't really understand that. But let me just summarize it by saying that the new order is a time when the last enemy is defeated, and that enemy is death. Amen. So the old order is gone. The new order is coming. Again, encourage yourself with that. As you stand at the grave of a loved one, as you stand and you experience death maybe of a friendship, or you experience disease in your body, remind yourself, this will not be this way forever. Death has been defeated, and one day it'll be totally defeated, and the old order will pass away, and the new order is coming. Number 3, write this down. Restoration also means that all things will be made new. Look at verse 5. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything what? New. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Listen, so what the fall and sin had tried to ruin, Jesus will make new. Remember, we said it before, that creation itself, when Adam and Eve fell, God cursed creation. And this world is beautiful as it is. And I love nature. I get inspired by looking at the stars and looking at the ocean and going to the mountains, and you probably do too. We get inspired by creation, it's beautiful, but it's fallen and it's cursed. How much more beautiful was it before the fall? How much more beautiful will heaven be than this cursed, evil world that we live in today? It's mind-boggling. Jesus said he is coming to make all things new. Creation itself is groaning until that day. Next time you go outside, place your ear on the ground. You'll hear creation groaning. Maybe not literally. You'll probably get your ear wet if you do that today. It's raining. But, you know, creation is groaning because of the sin and the curse. It goes on in verse 6 and 7, Revelation 21. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this. We talked about that last Sunday. That because of the redemption, we are no longer slaves, we are children. And because we are children, we are also what? Heirs. We stand to inherit all that God owns. Not that he's going to lose it, but he's going to share it with us. So here's a question people always ask, and you may be thinking it right now, but what are we going to do? We're going to live forever in heaven in this new order. You know, we're never going to die. I get that. But what are we going to do? Won't we get bored? I mean, won't we get tired? I mean, is heaven going to be an eternal church service where we just have, you know, we all love church, but come on, after an hour or so, I'm ready to go home and get some lunch. Anybody else want to say amen to that? And so we think, heaven, well, what are we going to do? I mean, is we're going to, you know, play harps or what's going to go on? Maybe that bothers you. And even the idea of forever, it's like, well, I can't even get my mind around the fact that Christmas is coming. How am I supposed to live forever? Well, again, part of what's going to help us is going back to the garden. You see, Genesis, remember we said it's a detour, Genesis 1, 2, and 3, and Revelation 21 and 22, it's kind of the bookends of the Bible, but it's also the part of the Bible that's not on this detour. And so we can take Genesis 1, 2, and 3 and look at Revelation 21 and 22. What we lost at the fall will be restored at the end, the restoration. And so even looking back at the Garden of Eden, we'll have a glimpse of what eternity will be like. And one of the things we notice about Adam and Eve in the garden is that they worked. Now, we talked about the difference that work and toil are two different things, right? Adam and Eve in the garden, they worked. And we all probably can think of things that we enjoy doing that I might say is work, but you enjoy it. It may be cooking, it may be yard work, it may be working on a car, it may be painting, it may be, you know, watching children, or, you know, these things that for me may be toil. You say, oh, I love it. I love it. You'll give me a spreadsheet and I'll just, you know, work on that, or give me a patient and I'll be a, you know, doctor or nurse. So we all have things that we love to do that we say, well, that's not work to me. I enjoy it. God made me to do this. Amen? You can express your creativity. You can express your personality. You can express your God-given gifts in that. And other people would say it's work, but hey, you enjoy it. That's a glimpse, I think, of what heaven's going to be like. Think about how big this universe is and how awesome it is, and we can go explore it. And the Bible says we're going to rule and reign with him. We're not going to be bored in heaven. Now, work is different from toil. Toil is the sweat of our brow. Toil is that project you don't want to do. Toil is frustration. And let me tell a story on myself. This summer, I was out in the front yard working on our sprinkler system, and it was hot. How many of you know it gets hot in Sacramento in the summertime? But that's when you need your sprinkler. So I was out there working on it, and I'd already been to Home Depot 3 times that day. Now, I don't mind Home Depot, but I was tired of going there. And I couldn't get the right part, and I couldn't get the right pipe, and I am not a plumber. I have no idea what I'm doing. And so I'm trying to get this thing fit together, and it wouldn't fit, and it wouldn't work. And I'm ashamed to say it, but I got so frustrated, I took my pipe wrench, and I started just wailing on the pipe. I mean, I just broke it to smithereens. And I thought, this is toil. I didn't think that. I thought something else. I'm not going to tell you what I thought. I'm not proud of it. Then I thought, well, now it's for sure not going to work because the pipe was in a million pieces. I was just tired and grumpy, and I just was hot. And I had to, so I'm confessing my sin right now. You see, pastors don't have to pay for therapy. We just do therapy on Sunday mornings in church. So thank you for hearing my confession. You can relate to that. Maybe there's things in your life you just say, man, I don't want to go to heaven and do that. Listen, I'm thankful that in heaven, God's not going to ask me to be a plumber, because that's something I can't do. We will rule and reign with him forever and ever. In fact, let's look ahead. Let me get back to the scripture. Turn ahead one chapter to Revelation 22. In case you think I'm making this up, Revelation 22 verses 3 says, no longer will there be any curse. It's in your notes if you don't have it in your Bible. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. See, there it is. His servants will serve him. We will spend eternity serving God. Now, again, can I give you exactly what that will look like? No, I can't. But the Bible says we will serve him, and there is a big universe for us to serve him in. And we will use our abilities and our gifts and our talents. It won't be toil. It'll be service of the King that we will enjoy, that will be pleasing to him forever and ever and ever. No death, no separation, no disease, no sin, no sickness. Verse 4 says, they will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and again, and they will reign with him forever and ever and ever. Amen. In heaven, it's not about me. It's about being with our Heavenly Father. The spotlight won't be on me or on you or on our activities. The spotlight will be on God. How can we serve our Father? Lord, what would you have us to do? Because you've restored us, and we're going to serve you forever and ever and ever. Amen. So let me try to wrap it up this morning. Let's try to wrap up this message in this series. And here's the best way to do it. I want you to write this down. We have a great future in Jesus. Amen. When we want to get discouraged or tired or weary or depressed or, you know, we look at this world, let me just remind you that I'm convinced that in my life and probably yours, we don't think about this enough. That's why I brought you this series of messages, and especially today. We don't think about this enough. We ought to spend some time in our life on a regular basis reminding ourselves of the great future that God has for us. Amen. We ought to. We ought to think about the fact that this old order is passing away. We ought to remind ourselves that the new order is coming, that Jesus is going to restore all that was lost in the fall. He's going to restore it. And when we're going through sin or disease or sickness or separation or divorce or death, it's okay. We understand it and we deal with it, but also we say, but this won't last forever. Is anybody out there this morning? This old order is passing away, and we would serve the Lord better. We would be more joyful people. We'd be stronger followers of Jesus if every once in a while we'd remind ourselves of that. Not in the sense people say, well, you're so heavenly-minded, you're no earthly good. That doesn't even make sense. Because if we were really heavenly-minded, we would be an awful lot of earthly good. We ought to remind ourselves that we have a great future, that Jesus is coming again. He's going to restore all things to himself, and the old order is passing away. And when we do that, we'll be strengthened and encouraged. And listen, it's just around the corner. Amen. We don't know when, but Jesus could return today. I may not be able to finish this message. Oh, that'd be terrible, I know. You may not be able to fill in all the fill-ins. When we get to heaven, you say, Pastor, what was that last fill-in? This is not something we say, well, you know, in a million years. You know, when our life is over, we'll be in the presence of the Lord. When Jesus returns, we'll be in the presence of the Lord. This is something where the New Testament says, encourage each other with these words. Remind each other. The early church had a word that we still sometimes hear, Maranatha. Have you heard the word Maranatha? It means it's a word of reminder that Jesus is coming quickly. And we ought to remind ourselves of that, remind each other of that. So on this restoration, what can we take with us? We won't need our stuff. It's useless there. The only thing we can take with us is other people. And so this series, again, remember I told you at the beginning, would be a great way for you. If you can get these four words, you can share this with a friend. So you know what? Let me tell you. God created everything. Everything fell. Jesus came to redeem everything. But you know what? The restoration is coming. And with these four words, you can share in a restaurant on a napkin or in the office on the back of an envelope. You can say, listen, this is the big, big picture. And you can share this truth with other people, not only for yourself to encourage you, but to give you an opportunity to share that big picture with other people. Because people today are lost. They've got no idea what the big picture is. And perhaps these messages will help you to share it with your children or your grandchildren or your coworker or your neighbor, and to encourage you to know that God is in control. Amen? Amen. God bless you. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads for a word of prayer this morning. Father, we thank you for your word and the way that it encourages us. Encourages us in truth, Lord, not in the sense of just trying to make us feel better by making stuff up, but Lord, we believe this is true. We believe that Jesus is returning. We believe that you're going to restore all things. This old order, Lord, is passing away. We know that as it does, Lord, that we can look forward to the new order. We can look forward to your return. We can look forward to no more death, no more crying, no more mourning, no more sickness, no more pain. We can look forward to that day, Lord, when your dwelling place will be with us. We will live with you in a way that we can't even understand today. We look forward to that day when you said, I am making all things new. That means new bodies for us, Lord, those that struggle with disease and sickness. That means new minds for those that are struggling with dementia or forgetfulness or mental illness. Lord, it means new relationships for those that are struggling through separation or divorce or difficulty in their family. You're making all things new. Lord, it would make us much better followers of you if we spent more time reminding ourselves and thinking about this. So, Lord, I pray even this week as we go through life that you'd remind us of the great future you have for us. You'd remind us, Lord, that you are in control, that this world is not bouncing out of control, but Lord, you are in control. You're bringing all things together. Jesus, you said the last enemy you would defeat is death. And we look forward to that day when death is finally defeated and we'll live with you forever and ever and ever. We'll rule and reign with you, Lord. We thank you for that privilege. Lord, we're not worthy of it. We've not earned it. Lord, we're not good enough. It's all because of your grace. Before I close this morning with every head bowed and every eye closed, you might say, Pastor, I don't know. I don't know if I'm ready to meet the Lord. I don't know if I've given my life to him. This new life I'm talking about isn't open to everybody. It's only open to those that say yes to Jesus today and that open their hearts and lives to him. And today you'd say, Pastor, I want to make sure I'm right with God today. I want to make sure I've given him my life and my heart. I want to make sure I've asked him to come and forgive my sin. If that's you today, would you just lift up your hand? We can pray together about that. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my life and my heart. Amen. Amen. Many hands are being lifted this morning. Yes, thank you. Thank you for your honesty today. If you lifted your hand this morning, just simply pray a prayer like this. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my life and forgive my sins. I want to make sure I'm ready to meet you. Whether it's at your return or whether it's at my death, Jesus, I want to make sure that I'm ready. I've given you control of my life. I've asked you to come and be my Lord, my Savior, to forgive my sin. Would you pray that prayer right now? I see many hands are lifted this morning just to pray that and make sure that you're right with the Lord. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit speaking to us today. Father, we thank you for your presence in this room. We thank you, Lord, that you're at work. Help us, Lord, as people that have heard these messages, Lord, to not only learn them for ourselves, but be able to share them with people, Lord, to be able to help people see what you're up to and what you're doing. And that we'd be encouraged by this and that we would encourage others. Thank you for speaking to us today so clearly. We look forward to the day we'll see you face to face. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Praise the Lord.